While we stuffed our faces with a turkey, ham, sweet potato, mashed potato with artery clogging butter and pumpkin pie, you might want to consider this fact. There are 18,000 children die every day. Yes, I said 18,000 children die every day around the world because of hunger and malnutrition. And 850 million people go to bed at night because there's no food. If you notice that child leaning his head against the column because he's so tired, so hungry. Think about him. I would love to scoop him up and feed him, take care of him. When you have the splash of the food in front of you today and tonight, according to UNICEF, that's the fact. I'm sure the number of deaths is much higher now because of the bad economy around the world. While I was cleaning up the mess that my grandson left on his high chair tray, I had to thank God for his kindness toward him. For some reason, he was sent to us that we could take care of him, we could feed him, we could care for him. Majority of the children in our country were that he blessed beyond measure. He rained the blessings upon this country, even the country itself rejecting God's blessing and his existence. Majority of our children would not go to bed hungry. But the other side of the world, even the few miles down the south in the Mexico area, they do. Like a 9 lepers who never thanked Jesus for the healing them from leprosy in Luke chapter 17, majority of born-again Christians are not thankful to the Lord. One day a year that they, many of them, utter a few words of the gratitude and praise to him out of obligation. This should not be. It should be praise and gratitude and thanksgiving should be on our lips day in, day out, every day. Thanksgiving should be every day, not just one day a year. We'll stop and pray. Father, we have no excuse for not being grateful for your kindness and mercy and love and grace. While we still sinner against you, you extend your grace and mercy toward us out of love. And Jesus Christ paved the way to you, to the throne of grace, that we may come to know Jesus as a Savior and Lord. And ultimately, we become the joint heir with him in the kingdom of God. There's not a one reason why we should not be grateful for your love. But because our sinful nature, because of our selfish and prideful attitude, we somehow tend to think that it is us that made it happen. Remind us and engrave in our heart that it is all about you, not about us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to chapter 17, verse 11, please, of the book of Luke. Chapter 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to the Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him the 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So he's not this verse, verse 14, please. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. As one of them, when they saw that they were healed, he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and at his feet, gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Note that. Your faith has made you well. Go back to verse 14 that I just read. As the 10 lepers walking toward, they were walking their way to the temple. They've noticed their hands no longer white scales. Scales coming off and that white ashen look skin becoming pink. There was a bloody pink area become normal skin tone. And the sores running is no longer running. And that means they are healed. They just noticed that. So what the 9 did, they went back to their family, their home, and their social gathering. And I'm sure they went to the temple first to be cleansed, to be notified that they were no longer lepers. And they no longer had to yell as loud from the distance as they did before, and saying unclean, unclean, as people approaching to them. And as these untouchable were embraceable, and the infected had become respected. And the isolated tomb dweller became the center of their town's attention. They quickly forgot about the miracle worker from Nazareth, Jesus Christ. And would these 9 ungrateful lepers represent the majority of born-again Christians who often forget our eternal destination has been changed from the hell to heaven by the grace of God alone, and has nothing to do with our own social status or our own effort or even being an American? Only one Samaritan came back to Jesus and thanked him for healing. Please note what he said in verse 19. Go back there, verse 19. And he said to him, Jesus said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. In other words, the other nine lepers had a leprosy no longer, and they were now well in God's sight. You follow? This one man was, his faith made him well, but the rest of them are not well. This one former leper showed his gratitude to Jesus in faith because he believed that Jesus is the one who spoke to them and healed them. He came back in faith and thanked him. And you may say, well, what's wrong with giving him thanks? No, you don't understand. This man acknowledged Jesus as God, because no man can heal leper. Only one can heal the leper. Who would that be? God. So in faith, he came back to God, whom he realized that he healed this man. In faith, he gave thanks to him. That's why Jesus acknowledged his faith and said, your faith made you well. Understand? One of my favorite authors is C.S. Lewis. And one of his books, The Four Loves, and he said this. The ancient man approached God or even gods as an accused person approached his judge. For the modern man, the roles are reversed. He's the judge, the man is judge, and God is in the dark. What a fitting commentary of our time. It is no wonder why many of us feel no reason or urgency to thank Him. Ask yourself, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, or I'm not going to ask you to do anything. Ask yourself, when was you are really, really grateful for your salvation and give thanks to Him other than today? Yesterday? The day before yesterday? Was it every day? Or was it, I don't remember, because it's been so long ago. The culture we are living in now encourages us to take care of ourselves first and someone else. No, I'll rephrase that. Ourselves first. Me first. Me only mentality. There are two categories in the minds of believers of Christ. One of the categories is the thankful, and the other, thankless. For the lack of term, I just named it as thankful and thankless. The thankless tend to act as though they and their circumstance, their achievement, are entirely self-made. By ignoring what the Lord has done for us, promoting ourselves into His throne. You agree with that? By ignoring what He has done for us, it's almost like I am the one who made this happen. We are pretending that there is no God who helped us. That is mild atheism. Not flat out denying, but yet somehow we denying the God and His power. May I change the slide? In the meanwhile, the thankful see the providence of God in all they hold. And thankful believes that it is not how much they have or not have in their lives. The real issue of the thankful is that they give thanks to the Lord for the salvation they receive freely through Jesus Christ. They believe that everything else is icing on the cake. It is no wonder why they can give thanks in the midst of horrible, horrible circumstances. And in the meanwhile, thankless grumbles and complain and murmur like an Israelite who wandered around in the desert for 40 years. You know, though the Israelite was no longer under the bondage of slaves, they no longer feel the painful whiplashing on their back by the slave taskmaster in Egypt. So for some reason, that freedom they receive is not worth anything because they cannot eat that spicy food with the garlic and who knows what else they put it inside. And they even had the audacity to say, "Oh, I long to go back. Let's go back to Egypt." And if somehow this temporary amnesia about the bondage, they think that if they go back, they will have a hunky life. No, they do not have a good life. They had a horrible bondage life. We, the same way, we Christians think, there's a phrase you guys all know. Maybe you use it. Good old days. Remember that? You know, good old days, before I came to Christ, what do you have a good old days? If you died at that time, if I died at that time, we would be in hell, burning crispy. But for some reason, in His mighty grace, He scooped down and extended His hand toward us. And save them. And we are not grateful. In a way, that's human nature. I give something to my grandson, he walk away. I say, "Micah, what do you say?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, I thank you." It's something we have to enforce ourselves. Some of us tend to think that God is not doing enough for us, just like the Israelite in the wilderness. With ungrateful heart, we complain, murmur, and we gripe what we don't have, while we don't care to remember the freedom from the bondage of our former slaves, slave taskmaster, Satan. That is the reason why Apostle Paul and his sidekick, Silas, could sing, because they remember what they have, the salvation, instead of what they don't have, freedom, in the Philippine jail. Even though their hands and legs are fastened on the stock, they could sing. Go to the Acts chapter 16, please. Verse 24. Having received such a charge, he, that the Philippine jailer, put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymn to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You see, the gratitude has absolutely nothing to do with what we have, but it's a lifestyle. It not only gives the rightful acknowledgement to one who deserves, but also give us and remind us that God is always the giver, and we are saved by His free gift of salvation. In other words, gratitude is an attitude that we should have all the time. From time to time, I have a meal with my sheriff deputies when I do the ride-along. And we sit down with the food, and I bow my head and start to pray. I can just see them, because I hear this bustling sound, and all of a sudden there's a quiet silence. And then when I finish it, I open my eyes, and they don't know what, this is what, how they have. They took a big bite of the food because they were hungry. And when I start to pray, they don't know what to do, so they just stop chewing, and they just, now what? As if someone uses a remote control pod. You see, our thankfulness should not be limited to the prayer of the mealtime, but in the complete and constant awareness of our own salvation. Those of us who have been redeemed by the living Lord Jesus cannot help but to say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the eternal life and for our daily bread." Remember, if we have our daily bread, that's what He promised. Alright, turn your Bible to Psalm 107, please. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that we that would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful work to the children of men. In the Old Testament, we find an interesting story about how King Jehoshaphat took the uncommon approach. When his enemy waged against him surrounding the Jerusalem, it was not even a contest because his army could not go fight against this enemy. So he prayed, and God spoke to him, "Send out the choir and the musicians first before your army, and I will take care of the rest." So he called out his people. And generals came and priests came and said, "Guys, this is what the Lord said. We're going to send out the musicians and choir first. And that's how we're going to fight." Think about it. If you're the worship team in that time, what would you think? "Oh, okay, I get it. The king doesn't like us, so he's going to kill us first." Yeah, up to the front. Be a cannon fodder. You know what though? When they accept the challenge, they believed in God, and they were said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, "Praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever." They sang out loud, and they started to march toward the enemy. And God sent the confusion and ambush toward their enemy, and destroyed them. They didn't have to lift a finger. They trust God, who can do all things, who has everything in under control. In approaching God to ask for new blessing, we should never forget to thank Him for the blessing He's already given to us. Have you recently come to God for the help and that He came through for you? Then did you come back to say thanks to Him? Like that, remember that one leper who came back to God, came back to Jesus, thanked for healing. And you may say, well, if I get healed like that, yeah, I would thank Him. Really? Is that the only thing you would thank Him? May I remind you, how about the healing from the miserable bondage life that you had of Satan? That's a healing. How about you still breathing? See, if we would stop and think how many prayers we offer to God have been answered and how seldom we come back to God to thank Him, it might just amaze us. We should be just as deliberate in thanksgiving to God as we are asking Him for His help. It's a common thing for us, if we write down, there's about that much space for the praise report. And there's this much long list of prayer. Is that normal? That's what we go through every Thursday night. Very small amount on the top. Because we don't think that we should give thanks to God for the simple things. Another thing, while I'm on the roll, don't forget to give thanks to your family member while they're still alive. I said this before, probably I will say more. It doesn't do any good for you to tell your family member how much you appreciate them, how much you love them at their funeral. Tell them while they can enjoy your compliment and acknowledgement. And you're thinking, you mean I have to tell my brother and my sister and my wife? And yes, exactly. Tell them you love them, you thank them for all the things they have to put up with. Three applications. Number one, when you wake up in the morning, you still have a breath in your lung and the life goes on. Give thanks to God for the night, whether you had a good night's sleep or the bad sleep, and day to face with His help. And remember the way the psalmist said, each day is a brand new day that is designated by God. Second application, when seemingly bad things happen, try to remember to thank God that it could have been worse. Let's ask God to help us to see the bigger picture from His way. How we can learn from this bad situation. And you know that God's going to use that bad situation to make it better. Go to Romans 8:28, please. You guys know this by heart. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good, those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Third application. Before you go to sleep tonight and every night, thank God for His grace. Thank God that His grace and mercy endures forever. He gave you another day. Sounds far-fetched? No. We can discipline ourselves to look at the things, the situation from God's point of view if we let Him help us. Go to the Philippians 4:6, please. What is the first two words, please? And then for what? Nothing. All right, let's read that portion again. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, stop worrying. Some of you have a profession of worrying. If there's a nothing to worry, you start worry because there's nothing to worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, and by prayer and supplication, and then with what? There you go. Let your prayer, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. It does not say your circumstance, your condition will be changed drastically for good. No, it says it will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. In other words, you might have to go through that valley, but you go through with God. Amen?
Amen.
With God, all things are possible. With God, and you and God are the majority. Stand up and pray, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we give you thanks for this wonderful day. And wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. That is in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful and happy Thanksgiving.